Okay, we are on in Maimer Revi, still in Ais Dalid, which, as I said, is one of the longest, if not the longest, of the pieces here. Page 27. In our prints. What he's going to try to do here in this piece is to show the idea of perception. It's a piece which is really a very philosophical piece. He's in the middle of talking about our understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam, about how what it means to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the names of Hashem. And he had, after a very clear explanation of the difference between Yud-Kei Vav-Kei and Elikim, he's coming to the name Adoin, or Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, and an explanation of the name. Adoin means our master, or my master. What he's trying to explain here is that our descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu never describe his essence, they describe our perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, there are some names like Rachum, Chanun, names which don't even pretend to talk about the essence of Hashem, but talk about Hashem's midos, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu behaves. So we call him Rachum, Chanun, etc. Here he's going on names like, he brings here on the top of page 27, Yeshev Tzion, Yeshev Kruvin, Sheikhen Yerushalayim. We say God dwells in the heavens. God doesn't dwell in the heaven more than he dwells in the earth. Now this is really, one sentence is really what this whole next few pages is about. And that is, Rabu Hamidais for Etzem Echad, there are different perceptions of a reality, Bavur Eschalfus Hadavar HaMekabel, depending on the change of the person who is perceiving it. Different people perceive the same exact thing, in different ways. You can take a bowl of food, and one person will say it's delicious, and one person will say it's awful. Is it really awful? Is it really delicious? There's no reality. It all depends on what the perception of the person who takes it is. I guess you would say some people say it tastes good, and some people say it doesn't taste good. Right? But there's no true definition of the item. The item depends on the person's perception. Now that's true about just about everything. And he tries to show that it's true, especially about the less physical something becomes, the more it's true. A person will say that a table has four legs, so I guess everyone perceives this table as having four legs. But that's not the essence of the table. Well, what is the table? What is the essence of the table? It's very hard to give a description, which is the example that he's going to give. Here he gives the example of the sun. The sun is probably one of the most spiritual of the things that we have in the world. And he says, "Kischalfus hanitzaitzais v'hashemesh echad," like the different perceptions of rays of light that come from the one sun. "Zemiyuhadimyin einoi no'os bakol," and the perception is not equal to everybody. "Elo, imhois hashemesh bilti musagas," if we couldn't grab onto the sun, we couldn't exactly touch and explain the sun. So you want to explain what rays of light are. You can only describe rays of light based on something that you see. Now he explains here in his note that, for example, if light shines through something red, you'll see red rays of light. If it shines through something green,
that's
you see.
That's really how the look is. It's not really perception. Is
see, it really is perception. I'll tell you why. See, in the Eitzim Nichman, that's was written in the 1700s. It gives the example of color. I don't know how much they understood color then. But let's say we say that this is blue, right? Is it really blue? If you shut off all the lights in the room, it's not going to be blue. Something is only blue.
It's just, it won't see it blue.
No, but that's not the truth. It's really not blue. Because nothing is blue.
What?
Nothing in the world is blue. Blue, light shines on certain things, and it has a certain amount of reflection. And that gives you a perception of color.
What's a rainbow?
Color. Rainbow is the same thing. The light shines through things.
A prism all the same?
A prism breaks up the light, but it's all based on how much light bounces back. And all color is based on how much light is filtered. There's a spectrum. There's a spectrum of light. It goes from 0 to 1,000. There are numbers that are given for the amount of light that is reflected, and the amount that's absorbed.
Roigabiv, red, orange, green.
Roigabiv. Okay. So the roigabiv. There's a spectrum of how much light bounces back, and that gives you a perception of how colorful something is. A little while ago, they put in the shuls about a year or two ago, a so to speak proof that tcheles is really tcheles, because on the light spectrum, the Murex Tcheles is 613. So it goes from 1 to 1,000. So 613, so that shows, must be that it's really Tcheles. It's very cute. What?
It's the ultimate proof.
Except that those numbers are totally, they're totally arbitrary. They're just numbers that people have given it. And also that the Tcheles could have different colors depending on how long you treat it. That's what does it. So it's not real, it's perceived. All color is perceived. If someone is colorblind, he doesn't see colors, so who says he's wrong? Maybe he's right.
Right?
He's only wrong because most people, we judge things by the way most people do things. But there's no reality to things that are based on perception. It's, what most people perceive.
You are the best writer. If somebody's colorblind, right. He can't see the colors, no matter what the rays are coming. He can't see.
No, he does see the colors. He can't perceive them. He does see the colors. He can't differentiate between them.
That's right. He can't recognize the colors. I don't want to use the word see.
It's not, well.
He can't recognize the colors. So it's not perception. He can't recognize it because he's got a deficiency.
What he's saying, who says the deficiency? Maybe a person who has too many receptors could go crazy. If your hearing was so acute that you would hear all the noise all around you, you'd go bananas. It's better to have a limited amount.
The issue is, you heard of the Rorschach test. That's perception because different people organize the same information in a different way and they can see different things.
And who is correct?
Nobody. This is the way you see it, but
so there's no reality.
This is objective. When you see blue, it's the way that the light is filtered, the way the waves are coming. That everybody sees the same thing.
But I'm telling you, does everyone seeing it make it real?
Sure.
Yes. Really? And if five people didn't see it that way, it wouldn't be real anymore?
That we don't see, and we perceive it. Visual is visual.
But I'm telling you, okay. This is a contradiction to what you said on Monday. It's the foundation of all souls.
Wow. What's the foundation?
Emet, first called
Emet, yes. But Emes has to be, Emes has to be absolute. The others is not Emes. He wants to make a point here. He's really making this point to answer a very big kasha. The kasha is that we find the Kadosh Baruch Hu described in different ways, in different psukim. That's really what he's coming to explain here. He says sometimes we have Daniel's vision, God is an old man with white hair and white beard, which I used to think meant old. Now I know it's middle age, actually. But then there's a vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ish Milchama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a man of battle. And they have an image of God who's sitting in judgment. So which is the real God?
That's perception. How you perceive it.
So that's his point. Perception. That's really the powerful point that he's making, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, within bounds, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is described in the way a person perceives it. That's what he's saying.
What you have to say.
Now, his point is that when you have the name of Hashem, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, what does it mean? What does Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud mean? My master. What is my master? It's subjective to the person. A person's perception of Elokus. That's the point that he's trying to make here. Always the Kuzari goes with the big picture of everything. He sees everything with the big picture. He's in the big picture of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Agnos, my master, means my master. The master as I perceive it. Now, it's not an unlimited, you know, a person can make up his own perception of God. It has to be within certain bounds of what would be acceptable. But you say God is Yashay B'Shamayim, heaven is big, and Yashay B'Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is small compared to heaven. So where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yashay B'Yerushalayim, Yashay B'Hashamayim. It's under perception.
What you have to say is like we say Dibra Torah of Lashon B'nei Adam. So you can't even begin to talk about Hashem except in Lashon B'nei Adam. And then within context,
it's an important explanation. I was saying this is all. You're right. This is all Lashon B'nei Adam. This is all Lashon B'nei Adam, and we give names based on Lashon B'nei Adam. So let's see. He goes into this idea that the reality of things is based on the perception. He goes into it a bit of an arichus. Let's read a few of the lines. Atzarech mevi laharchiv ma'at b'dvarim b'kan. It's necessary laharchiv ma'at to explain, give a wider explanation of these words. Bavur shu makayim taina. This is something that people can complain about. Ech roimzim el makayim mishein lo makayim. How can we use God, who is not limited by space, and how can we describe him as yoshev b'shamayim, as somebody subject to space? V'namin ki anirmas elav hu asibah harishayna. V'anachdu metziyin, v'namin, and we believe, anirmas elav hu asibah harishayna. God is really the, sibah harishayna is the prime mover, the original cause of all. V'anachdu metziyin b'tshuva zu haitzah. And therefore we suggest the following explanation of the Naimar. And we say, hachushim eina masigin min hamuchashim ki im mikreyem lo yatzmeyem. This is a very philosophical statement. Hachushim eino masigim min hamuchashim. The senses don't perceive from those things that give out sensory messages. Ki im mikrehem lo yatzmeyem. We only perceive things based on their mikra, on the way they happen to be at the moment. Lo yatzmeyem, not their true essence. We see things as we perceive them. That may not be what they really are. Ve'einenu ze amitas hamela shemakabel maleim remay mamay. And we don't see the essence of the king who we accept to lift up. Atoreo b'mulchama b'tachshin echad. When the king goes to battle, you see him with one uniform. Tirem medina b'tachshik acher. And you see him when he's traveling around the country in another outfit. Ubebeisoy b'tachshin acher. And when he's home with a third outfit. And we say this is the king based on the way we perceive him, not on the way we understand him. A small child could look at him, and someone a little older, and someone older, somebody extremely old. And each person will see him differently. But it's only one king. Now, he's not talking here about Melech Malchi Emlochim. He's giving you a marshal of a physical king. Why is he the king? Because he's the one who has the power to command. When the king communicates with you, you see the essence of the king. Who's the essence of the king? It's not his outfit. It's not his face. It's the essence of a person, which is his intelligence, his soul. The essence of a human being is something that has no boundaries. And you accept that he's the king. The exact same body, when he dies, and you look at him, he's not a king anymore. Akuf, he's a body. Ne'el mishiyiritzi, he can be moved around by whoever wants. Fearful, I'll come upon him. Yefani v'apolais mehamikra. So, but he's trying to explain here, is that the reality of what something really is hard to define. The more spiritual something is, the harder it is to define it. And we can only define it by the total of all of the ways that we perceive it. Let's say you know someone. You meet him once. He says he's a nice guy. But you met him once. The one time you met him, it happened to be the day after the Yankees won the World Series. And both of you are Yankee fans. So he's great.
But he was a nice guy then.
We could debate
like
that.
He wasn't that he was a nice guy then. You say he's always a nice guy.
What do you mean? What is nice guy? Nice guy is the way you behave. A nice guy is what the person is. It defines the person.
That is true. But I'm saying, what his conception of him, because he still had a good time. So it's not shot that he wasn't a nice guy. He was at that time.
Now you see, the goal here, there are two goals. A person can have a goal to philosophize about the way we perceive the world. That's not really the goal. The goal here is to understand the different names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why we give different names to Hashem Echad, to one God. And that's because it's sometimes necessary at different times to perceive Hashem in different ways. The Adnos of Hashem, the Shem Adnos, which he's trying to explain, is something which tells us that we see God as we perceive Him. He's my master. When I have to go to a physician for surgery, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Reife Chaylim. I look at God as the one who heals the sick. When I need a job, I look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the one who provides parnasa. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do what I would suggest he does. You know, I might ask him for it. He may not do it. So then I could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as, I have a choice. I could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as all-knowing and he knows what's good for me. Or I could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as one who disappoints. The point that he's making is that the name Adoin, the name Master, my Master, is the name of the sum total of the ways that people perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's basically an explanation of the name.
It sounds like everything flows.
All the qualities.
Everything flows from Emuna. If you believe Hashem is a Rofei Cholim, then you see Him as that. If you believe that He's responsible for Parnassah,
you see, it's not only what I believe; it's what I happen to be thinking about at the moment.
Yeah,
at this moment, I'm not thinking about about HaKadosh Baruch Hu a certain way. I'm thinking about it a different way.
And let me one suggestion. And I'm sorry.
Suddenly, you're asking for permission. Yes.
I want to change the word from perception to a vision of Hashem. Hashem has all these qualities. He's a word chayim. He does everything, right? So we know it. Not how we perceive it is how our vision of Him changes.
Okay. How we connect to Him. Okay.
What?
I mean, how we connect to HaKadosh
Baruch Hu. Yeah, because perception seems to be not real. These are all real that Hashem has. So I'd rather use the word.
The question is, if something is real, if you perceive a small piece of it, if it's real, like the blind people who touch the elephant, right? So, it's real when one person sees the elephant as the way he describes it, the other way that he describes it. But it's not real because it's such a small piece of the whole reality.
That's perception.
Okay, but same thing about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have such a small understanding. It might be real, but it's such a small piece of it that's the way it is.
I would say we have no understanding of Hashem. Absolutely none. We can't. Because Hashem is...
But yet we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we have to have a way of describing it.
In our terms.
It's true.
So we have to specify, unified aspect of all those perceptions that we have, because otherwise there's no difference between us and the Greeks.
Well, I don't know. The Greeks are very far from our perception of God. The Greek perception of God is a creature with failings. And we don't see it that way. But all right, the point that he's making, it's like I told you, the Kuzari, everything is big. So in the big picture of things, it's something that you could sit and think about. What reality is, and if you think about it too much, you just go crazy. In today's world, nobody likes to focus on the fact that so much of what we perceive is really, it's esoteric. The more we understand science, the more we understand that reality is not what it looks like. You know, if we take a table and it seems solid to us, and then we start studying physics and we see that the table is mostly air, I know some people, and you tell me they're mostly air. I believe it, but you tell me the table is mostly air. It's very hard to believe. So I don't know. The more we understand physics, the more it is that way. But anyway, this is, I think, a synopsis of his definition of the third name of Hashem. So he dealt with Hashem and Elohim in a very clear way. And then this, like he says, that I see a necessity to be Marchev HaDibur. You really have to have to jump into it, delve into it, to understand the Shem Adnos. Now, as a result of this, the suffix my is shulchani, my table, or plural shulchanai. The noi ending, the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, really only comes when there's an asnacht or a saif pasuk. Really, a patach changes the noi is not, if you would say Adonai or Adoni. The noi ending is not grammatically correct unless it's a strong ending of a pasuk. Rabbeinu Bachya writes that we have that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sort of the ultimate Adoin. The saif pasuk, the ending of the Adoin. So it ends with noi. Now, many years ago, the Stipler put out a letter asking the Sfardim. They can daven with the whole Nusach all the time, but when they say God's name, they should say Noi at the end.
What do they say?
Nai. Right? They say Nai at the end. Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. They say Nai. So he says, but when it's a name, you can't do that. You can't just change it because you want to... So he put in it was an ad in the paper. I don't know if he actually paid for an ad or somebody else paid for the ad, which is usually what happens. He had written this letter asking our brothers, the Sfaradim, that at least when they say God's name, they should end with Noi. So Rav Avadya Yosef had a beautiful response. His response had to do with the fact, an interesting piece, whether a komatz really has to be an aw sound. Because it would seem a patach and a komatz can't have the same exact sound. So Rav Avadya Yosef writes, there are five pairs of vowels in Hebrew. Two have identical sounds, two have different sounds, and this one is in middle. The pairs, let's say, a tseire and a segol, have different sounds, a and e, go together. One is the tenua gedayla, one is the tenua katana, of the same thing. But then you have a chirik and a chirik male. A chirik is a chirik by itself, and a chirik followed by yud. They're pronounced exactly the same way. Or a shurik and a kubitz. They're pronounced exactly the same. So you have, those two sets are pronounced exactly the same. And the tseire and the segol, what's the other one that's pronounced differently, is the oi sound and the kometz cut, and the, what do we call the kometz cut sound, which is a o and a oi sound. And then we have the regular kometz and the patach, which is o and a to us, and is a and a to the Sephardic pronunciation. But be that as it may, the point is, regarding what we're saying, is that the Rabbeinu Bachya writes is a kometz, in the noi ending of Adoin, of God's name, because it's the ultimate master. Sort of like a Seif Pasuk, you know, the master to end all perceptions of a master. Okay, he goes on, he gives other examples. He talks about the sun, he talks about the clouds, he talks about different things, but the idea is all the same. He's trying to give you this idea that words, descriptions of things are based on perception, and the name Adnus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sort of the ultimate perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have an understanding of three of God's names, Hashem, Elohim, and now Adain. I mean, it's Hashem. Next time we'll move further.